You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi, and welcome to Pet Life Radio. This is the Exotic Pet Vet. My name is Dr. Lori Hess, and I'm here with my colleagues, Dr. Kristen Britton and Dr. Amanda Marino. And we are exotic animal veterinarians, so we treat all kinds of fun exotic pets, including many small mammals. And we wanted to share some really important information with you today. Today, we thought we would talk to you about the top household dangers for small animals. These are great pets in your home, but we know holidays are coming. Lots of new people and potentially new animals can be in your house. And these animals and people can certainly pose a hazard to the small mammals that live in our homes. So we wanted to make you aware of these hazards so that you can try to prevent them from happening to keep your pets healthy and happy. So first of all, I wanted to welcome my colleagues here, Dr. Britton and Dr. Marino.
Hello.
Hello there.
So what do you think, guys? I mean, we treat these animals all day long, and we're talking really about what animals now?
So, you know, when we're talking about kind of the mammals, the small and fuzzies is what I would say. So anything from ferrets to guinea pigs, rodents, so rats, hamsters, you name it, to some of the more strange ones, like potentially hedgehogs or sugar gliders, just kind of like chinchillas, those types of animals are what we're, I think, going to focus on today.
And it's amazing how many of those we actually see. So many people have these pets. I mean, think about all the bunnies that we see. Dr. Marino, you've been seeing tons of bunnies lately.
Yeah, we definitely see a lot of bunnies. I have one myself. And so, you know, they're cute little critters, but sometimes they can be a little, mischievous and get into things that they're not supposed to. So I think that this is a pretty important topic to talk about.
So have you ever had any bad experiences with your pet at home, your bunny?
Personally, not really so many. Most of the time, you know, he's, especially when someone's not home, he's housed in his cage that has plenty of room for him to kind of get around and move around. And when we're at home, you know, he sometimes gets some free time, but it's always supervised. So he never has time to necessarily get into things. But just, you know, knowing what he does, things, you know, like loose wires or, you know, the other pets in my household, because I do have two dogs in the house, there's definitely a lot of, you know, potential problems that can arise.
So let's talk in a little more detail about those potential problems. I know that we see this in practice all the time. Loose wires, that's a really good one. I mean, these pets are really, really oral. Dr. Britton, you had
definitely
a case like that recently too.
I've had personal experience with wires with a couple rabbits that I used to have long ago and ended up having to, like, wires even in the back of like the TV area where you just don't expect your pet to be able to get to. Those are areas that they like to go explore. It may be a little bit warm, quiet, dark, an area that they may want to go look into, and yet there are those dangers of those wires being there. So these guys can easily chew through wires, and when they chew on them, especially if they're plugged in, they can give them an electric shock. And that can be a significant danger for an animal, whether it's a rabbit or a rat, you name it. Not only ingesting that material could become a problem, but also the shock itself, if it is plugged in, that can potentially be life-threatening for the animal. That shock can kind of attack their heart and their lungs and cause some dysfunction there, and they can start having breathing problems. So definitely it's something to be aware of. And the good thing is that there are things that we can do to help prevent them for getting to those areas in the first place. So there is almost like a protective plastic that you can put over all of your wires and just make sure that the animal can't get to them. That way, not only they're all picked up and organized, but protected from the animal itself. And those are things that you can purchase from anything from like a electronic store that's near you or just a general store to be able to collect those wires and protect them from your little pet's teeth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we do see, you know, mouth burns, horrible electrocution. And one of the things we don't think about with wires, as you mentioned, when they ingest them, is a lot of those wires have heavy metal in them, like zinc and copper. And when those are ingested and they are slowly digested in these animals' gastrointestinal tracts, we see some serious signs. I mean, neurologic signs, gastrointestinal problems, they can even be fatal. So those may be things that are happening behind the couch that you don't know about, but you got to be really, really careful. I think we're going to take a break for just a second to hear from our sponsors, but we are here at the Exotic Pet Vet Show with Dr. Kristen Britton and Dr. Amanda Marino, and I'm Dr. Lori Hess, and today we're talking about household dangers for small animals in your home, and we'll be right back.
Oh.
Put a puppy under the Christmas tree. Wait, you read it, not feed it. It's The Dog with the Opposable Thumb, An Accidental Love Story, the fun new book by award-winning author Mark Barkowitz. When an accidentally DNA-altered puppy is born with a thumb, his lovelorn grad student caretaker devises a strategy to achieve their Kardashian-like fame and fortune. It's funny, intelligent, and incredibly unique. And 20% of book sales benefit the Pasadena Humane Society and SPCA. The Dog with the Opposable Thumb is available now through Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and MarkBark.org. Thumbs up to a howling fun book for the holidays. The Dog with the Opposable Thumb. Order yours now.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi there. This is the Exotic Pet Vet Show with Dr. Lori Hess, Dr. Kristen Britton, and Dr. Amanda Marino. We're exotic animal veterinarians, and today we are talking all about small mammals and the dangers in our home, particularly those that we might encounter on a daily basis, but also ones that might be unique to the holidays coming. So we just discussed a little bit about chewing, chewing wires in particular. What else do we see them chew?
Household plants are something else that we commonly see. So, you know, a lot of people have plants in their household, and some of them are okay for them to chew, but then there's others that are toxic. And so especially with the holidays, one of the ones that I think about is poinsettias. That's a very common plant that's in the house, and the whole plant is actually very toxic, but especially the berries in the center are the most toxic part. And, you know, for our these little pets that we have, even a small amount can be, you know, pretty detrimental to them. But even some of the other plants that you got that are in the house, you know, can be a problem, that are more there on a daily basis. And so making sure that they're not exposed to any of those things, or, you know, they're closed off, that they can't get to them, because some of them can even be fatal.
And you can't really blame these animals, because a lot of them are herbivores. So they see a plant and they think, yum, that's dinner. But again, some of those plants, lilies are a big one too, that people have in their homes. Even philodendron, rhododendron plants. I mean, those are common plants that if we have our bunnies or our guinea pigs outside, we've got to keep them away from those things. So again, it's not their fault. Just keep them away from those plants. Or if you're really not sure, don't have that plant in your home. What else do we see, you guys?
So when we're talking about chewing, if we're staying on that line of things, our animals, especially when they're free roam, and Dr. Moreno and I both had, you know, rabbits and things that'll free roam the house. I don't know if you have this problem, Dr. Moreno, but chewing on the baseboards. Mm-hmm. This is something that if you own a rabbit and they are free roam, it's something that likely the rabbit has chewed on the baseboards. And sometimes this isn't a huge problem, but depending on the age of your house, it actually could be. When you're dealing with paints and things, some of those paints could have lead in them. And so that lead could obviously cause a toxicity to a small animal. So even though they may just be chewing little bits of the baseboard, whatever they're ingesting of that paint could potentially have toxic consequences to it as well.
I've seen quite a few lead poisoning cases in bunnies in particular, because they just chew everything. They'll chew windowsills and door frames and baseboards and everything. So that is a big one. And again, we can't fault them, because their teeth grow continuously and they do need wooden things to chew on. But home furnishings are certainly on their list of delicacies. So just be really, really careful that they're not chewing your coffee table leg, for example, and particularly if it's painted or varnished with something that can have a toxic substance in it.
Absolutely. Especially something like grandma's antique furniture. You know, that's something that one of my clients actually came in a few weeks ago, and her animal ended up not only chewing grandma's antique furniture, but also her antique quilt. So they can get into all sorts of things in the house that you wouldn't necessarily think were a toxic or a problem.
Rugs are a big deal with these animals.
Absolutely.
Rugs, doormats, anything. Really, they chew everything. So, I mean, you hit the nail on the head earlier, Dr. Moreno, when you were talking about, you know, having them out unsupervised. They really can't be out unsupervised. They need a safe and penned off area, and we'll use baby gates or any number of things just to create a bunny or a small mammal proofed area. And if you're going to have one of these pets in your house, you really need to think ahead and take care of that. I know I had a case the other day of a human medication intoxication. You know, you helped me with that, Dr. Marino, didn't you? You saw that. We see that all the time, because, you know, all those little pills and things, they look like candy, right? They're round and they're little yummy dropped on the floor, and you never know. But in the doses meant for humans, for these animals that have really quick metabolisms, if they eat just one little pill, it could be fatal.
it.
Yeah, anything that's dropped on the floor. So human medications is definitely a big one. But then another thing to think about is also the foods that we eat. Something like chocolate can also be really toxic to the majority of these pets. And so, you know, the different foods and things that we eat, especially if we have children in the house, because they, you know, like to feed the animals, so they may start feeding their own food or even some of their toys. And so when we start thinking about the toys, if there's little pieces and things, we could be worried about foreign bodies and causing an obstruction where the GI tract can't move appropriately. And that could be a surgical emergency.
Yeah. And especially, like, since we are getting closer to the holiday season, having excess children potentially and family members around, you know, whether your grandparents are in town or your family, you know, with these medications that may be commonly in the house. And some of these rodents and various small fuzzy mammals, you know, they want to go explore things. And as they're exploring, they may get into that suitcase or may get into something that they really shouldn't be.
And let's not forget our favorite, the ferret. Ferrets are crazy. They eat everything that's not nailed down. And it's not distinct to holiday time. We know that ferrets love shoes and socks, and they hoard them in closets. It is not, you know, crazy for us to hear about the animal keeps taking something and hiding it away. And they also really love rubber things. We see that all the time. They like to chew. So pencil erasers, balls, all kinds of stuff. So that's a really big one. You got to keep all those chewable things away from ferrets.
And this is going to sound really weird, but quite a few ferrets like earplugs. Earplugs at night. If anybody wears earplugs at night, make sure that you keep those far away from your ferrets. A lot of those have come out as foreign bodies.
Yeah, ferrets seem to be not discretionary in terms of what they chew on. Foreign body, they deal on the pet ferret. You mentioned something earlier about children. I think, you know, children certainly, you know, running through the house, that can be a hazard unto itself. I mean, children are quick runners and they can run over some of these little pets and not see them. Plus, they may be really, really curious and pick up an animal. And we see that in rabbits, right?
Right. And so rabbits, guinea pigs, any of these animals are smaller. And so, you know, children want to handle them and cuddle them. But sometimes those animals either don't like it or the child decides they don't want to do that anymore or get scared for some reason. And if any of these animals get dropped, there's a big risk of, you know, breaking bones. You know, in rabbits, I think about them breaking their back because they have such strong back legs. I've seen, you know, kids that are carrying guinea pigs that they fall and they, you know, break their leg. And so there's a real hazard, you know, with that and handling with these small children as well.
Yeah. And I, with smaller rodents such as hamsters or things that may be running around in a ball, kids may think that's really cute, but they may try to push the ball, obviously not intentionally trying to hurt the animal, but just making sure that all the children and all the adults even, you know what the rules are in the house for your animal to make sure that they don't get injured.
Yeah, those balls can be really hazardous. They make them for the hamster or the gerbil to run around in, but those things notoriously end up bouncing down the stairs. And you can imagine being inside a big globe that's bouncing down the stairs. That can be really traumatic to a little animal inside. So again, that's a really, really important point all year round. So we do have a couple more things we want to talk about, but I think we're going to take another little break right now and hear from our sponsors. You're here listening to Pet Life Radio, The Exotic Pet Vet, with Dr. Lori Hess, Dr. Kristen Britton, and Dr. Amanda Marino, and we'll be right back.
He was malnourished and emaciated.
Constant scratching and just being unpleasant.
He was shedding excessively.
He was losing his fur.
Franklin was rescued from the streets of Los Angeles.
Bear was a rescue from the same shelter in Kansas City, Missouri that I got JJ the Terrier.
I found his raw meat diet, which is raw meat, eggs, rice, and Dinovite and Lico Chops. His omega-3 supplement on Dinovite.com.
Dinovite.com.
I've got my ground beef, the Dinovite, and I just mix it all together with the eggs and the shells.
Franklin, he's thriving. His coat is soft and shiny. He's shedding much less.
They're much happier. Their coats are better. Their behavior, especially their behavior, is better. How do you feed your shelter dog to derive a great attitude?
Start that little pet off right.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Just go to Dinovite.com.
Dinovite.com.
Hi, I'm Dana Humphrey, the founder of Whitegate PR. We have been specializing in PR and marketing in the pet industry for over 10 years. If you have a pet product or service you would like to promote, give us a call. We can help create awareness for your brand on TV, radio, magazines, newspapers, and blogs. Feel free to reach me directly at 619-414-9307 or learn more on our website at whitegatepr.com or follow us on Facebook.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
So we're back now. And there were a couple more things we wanted to mention, right?
Yeah, I think so. You know, a couple things that we still want to chat a little bit about are when people are coming over to the house with you, sometimes your family and your pets are in this certain little bubble and you don't necessarily see other types of pets. But let's say maybe a cousin or somebody's bringing over their dog. This is potentially a hazard for your rodent, for your rabbit, or the small fuzzy that you have at home. You know, some animals get along really well, and others don't necessarily. You know, if that dog or even that cat has never seen, you know, a rabbit or seen something scurry across the ground like a ferret, they may think that, ooh, this fun toy, and again, unintentionally end up injuring that animal quite severely.
Recently, we've been treating a rabbit that did, you know, have an interaction with a dog, and it wasn't a good interaction. Yeah. And, you know, the rabbit is doing fine, but they did have some significant damage to her face, and right now we're dealing with how, you know, her healing and trying to get her to start eating again and all of those things. I've, you know, seen more severe injuries and having, you know, patients even die, you know, because they have such severe injuries.
And you really can't blame the cat or dog. I mean, we know the cat or the dog is the predator by nature. Mm-hmm. And most of the pets that we're treating, that we're talking about today, other than maybe the ferret, who's a predator as well, most of these other small mammals are a prey species. And, you know, in the wild, these animals are actually dinner for many predators. Species. So we may not want that to happen in our homes, but you really can't blame the predatory pet. So we must stay ahead of the curve and prevent that interaction. So you'd never, ever want to trust even the most loving, kind, gentle cat or dog, predator, or even ferret out with a small rodent, for example, because, you know, they may just pick him up in his mouth, you know, carry him around the house and act like a little ball with this animal. Mm-hmm. But they have very sharp teeth. They have long claws. They have a lot of bacteria in their mouth that mm-hmm. probably should not be, you know, in any way in contact with these small mammals. So we really need to be wise and not, you know, trust even the nicest cats and dogs.
Yeah. And as you were talking about bacteria and teeth and claws, you know, even just a small little scratch on these guys can be a significant change, whether injury wise internally or just the bacteria that can fester and potentially be very life threatening for them.
Yeah. It's a shame when this stuff happens because it really is preventable if we just think ahead. One more thing I think we should talk about now that it's getting colder is temperature change. We're seeing quite a bit of this now. What do we see most of all?
So, you know, at this time of year, we have doors open and closing and, you know, lots of people coming in and out. And so, you know, the temperature change, you know, can be quite significant. And for some of these animals, it can definitely cause a problem. It can cause them to have a lower immune system, and, you know, they can't necessarily get colds. You know, ferrets are the ones that can catch mm-hmm. colds from people, and so that's something I also think about as well. But the drafts in general can cause problems for them.
One specific type of small mammal that I think about, especially as it gets colder, are hedgehogs. And this is something that you don't always think about. Hedgehogs are from Africa. It usually doesn't get as cold as it does somewhere like where we are here in New York. And so definitely hedgehogs, once it starts getting below 75, 72 degrees, they will actually go into something called torpor. And that means that they're kind of almost like a hibernation, and they'll walk around very, very confused. Confused, almost very wobbly, and people get very concerned. I get quite a few calls regarding this, and really all it is that the temperature's too cold. And so we need to make sure and offer heat sources for them, little warming packs that they can curl up to, and just make sure that their environment is okay. Now, the opposite could be said as well. There's certain types of animals that need to be kept cooler as well.
Yeah, I mean, definitely certain animals like chinchillas don't like to be overheated. And we've just come through summer a few months ago, and we saw quite a few overheated chinchillas, overheated rabbits. These are animals that can't sweat like we do. They lose heat through the furry portions of their body, like their ears and their foot pads, but they really can't release that heat. So it tends to build up and they get overheated. It affects their brain. It can cause horrible neurologic signs. So most of these animals do okay if the temperatures we're comfortable with inside, but we just want to stop the temperature extremes, you know, with these pets. We talk about rabbits too, who are housed outside, and they do fine if it's a comfortable temperature, but once it starts to get either above 80, where they get overheated, or with the snow coming, a lot of people leave them out in hutches, and if they don't have heaters, their water freezes, and they'll get frostbite on, you know, their little noses and ears and their toes, and they are really subject to that. They're not like the cottontails that live in our yards. Those are a totally different species, so our pet bunnies can't live out there.
Absolutely, and especially when you think about how big these little guys are, when you're thinking of things like hamsters and rats and their very, very small little toes, their surface area compared to, you know, the cold, it can affect them much more significantly than it affects us. So make sure that they have lots of little blankets to hide in and little heat sources too for the little guys.
This really does give you, I think, a lot to think about if you're going to have one of these pets in your home. Certainly all year round, you want to be aware of these potential toxins and hazards in your home. But with the holidays coming and all the commotion that usually goes on, we have to be extra vigilant about this. Is there anything else you guys want to mention? Well, I think that these pets are great, and we have all experienced owning one of these animals. I had pet guinea pigs. I know I thought that I had a Heidi and a Maxine when I was in elementary school, two females, and I went to school and I came home, and it actually ended up being Heidi and Max because there were four when I got home that day. I know Dr. Marino has her bunny population at home, and Dr. Britton has had all kinds of things.
Definitely. Yeah, throughout my time, I've definitely grew up with rats, grew up with hamsters, rabbits, and where I grew up was out in California in the desert area. So the heat fluctuations, I actually lost a rabbit due to severe heat. So, I mean, there's things that we learn every single day, and hopefully we've helped you guys with some things to look out for to help avoid situations like that in the future in your own house.
We love to hear about your pets too. So if you have any questions for us, please email in and let us know, and we'd be happy to chat with you. I hope that you enjoyed our little episode today of The Exotic Pet Vet on hazards of small animals in your home. I'm Dr. Lori Hess with Dr. Amanda Marino and Dr. Kristen Britton, and we hope you'll tune in soon again. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.